Workday Afternoon Replay from Money FM 89.3. Health Suite with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health Suites on Money FM 89.3. Today I speak to Dr. Tanuja Rajasekaran, consultant with the Division of Medical Oncology at the National Cancer Centre, Singapore. We'll be talking about the challenges in diagnosing ALK-positive non-small cell lung cancer, but I think before we do that, maybe we should explain in broader terms what lung cancer is and what the different kinds of lung cancers are. What do you think, Doctor?
Thank you, Clarissa. It's a pleasure to be here.
It is absolutely my pleasure to have you. Okay, so let's talk about lung cancer.
So lung cancer is the most common cancer worldwide and the leading cause of cancer-related deaths.
Okay.
And essentially, there are two types of lung cancers, non-small cell lung cancer and small cell lung cancer.
I'm going to ask you this question. Is there one that's more severe than the other, or are they both equally dangerous?
No. Essentially, what non-small cell lung cancer is the more common type, which makes up about 85% of the lung cancers.
Okay.
Small cell lung cancer is the type that's less common.
Right.
However, it is the type that is actually more aggressive.
Right. When you say more aggressive, would the prognosis then be worse?
Yes.
For the patient?
Yes, absolutely. So small cell lung cancers happen almost exclusively in smokers, and they tend to spread to other parts of the body, tends to spread beyond the lungs, to the bones, to the liver, to the brain rather rapidly compared to the non-small cell lung cancers.
Okay, there are some misconceptions about lung cancers. A lot of people think, well, if I don't smoke, I won't get it. Have you come across patients who think that?
Absolutely. So I think the first misconception, as you rightly said, that lung cancers, if I can only get lung cancer if I'm a smoker. In fact, about 10 to 15% of patients who get lung cancers are actually non-smokers. And then, you know, when we have patients come into the consult room, the first thing they tell you, oh, doctor, I've never smoked a single stick of cigarette in my life. How is it possible to have lung cancer? So we sit down and explain to them, you know, that lung cancer can happen in non-smokers as well. And the second misconception, the biggest misconception with lung cancer is that lung cancer is a death sentence.
Okay.
But, I mean, while the overall survival for lung cancer still remains fairly low, but in the era of personalized medicine and with new research coming out, in certain types of lung cancer, there's been a great improvements in overall survival and quality of life, such that for certain types of lung cancer, the lung cancer is more like a chronic disease rather than a death sentence.
It's interesting that you say that, because I've had several conversations with oncologists specializing in different types of cancers, and they're all coming out and saying that now, where this used to be a death sentence, it is no longer the case. There's a lot more medical intervention that you can count on and to raise your survival rates.
Absolutely.
So that's good news.
Absolutely. Good news for our patients.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So now there's two kinds of lung cancer, as you said. Both of them, I would imagine, are quite severe. Do you see these patients as the cancer is quite advanced, or do you actually, are you able to get them at a very early stage of the cancer development?
So unfortunately, most lung cancers are actually diagnosed in the advanced stage. And that really is because early stage lung cancer does not produce much symptoms. And even when they do produce symptoms, they tend to be very non-specific symptoms. For example, a persistent cough, shortness of breath or chest pain that patients tend to attribute it to some other condition or some other some other disease that they don't seek medical attention early for it.
Right. Okay. So what you're saying is, because it doesn't present with very specifics, most people think, oh, maybe I'm just having, I should dial back my workout regime.
Yeah, maybe it's just a simple cough. Let me just get some antibiotics. I'll get better. You know, but actually, some of these may actually, especially in smokers, some of these, like, you know, people can present with a persistent cough, and then smokers tend to say,
it's
this is my smoker's cough. Let it be. It will go away.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think all of us want to pretend we're not sick anyway. We're all perfect. We're all in perfect health all the time. which is part of the problem.
Yes.
Okay. Now let's talk about then about ALK positive non-small cell lung cancer. You're saying this is the cancer that non-smokers can get.
Yes.
Okay.
So let's backtrack a bit. So as I said earlier, there are two types of lung cancers, mm-hmm. small cell and non-small cell lung cancers. Mm-hmm. ALK-positive lung cancer is actually a subset of the non-small cell lung cancer group.
Okay.
And it makes up about 5% of the lung cancers in the non-small cell lung cancer group.
Okay.
And why is it called ALK-positive lung cancer? It's because these lung cancers essentially have a mutation or a gene arrangement which results in an abnormal protein that then drives the cancer cells to grow and spread to various parts of the body.
So outside of the lung?
Absolutely. So essentially, why it's good that we know about this ALK-positive lung cancer is because we can then give ALK inhibitors to target this ALK mutation. So it's giving targeted therapy for our patients.
Okay, how aggressively does it move when it moves out of the lungs?
So when lung cancer spreads, it can essentially spread to any part of the body, mm-hmm. to the brain, to the bones, to the liver, to the lymph nodes. So generally, when the cancer spreads beyond the lungs, then we say the cancer is actually incurable, and mm-hmm. whatever treatment that we give is more for palliation.
Okay, pain management, etc.
Yes.
Okay, I'm starting to understand this, and we're starting to demystify some of the misconceptions. Let's talk about the people who are most susceptible to ALK-positive non-small cell lung cancer.
So the people who get ALK-positive lung cancers are generally people who are younger than the people who get other types of lung cancers, mm-hmm. females and non-smokers. That's the general patient population.
Younger females and non-smokers?
Yes.
Is there any correlation to somebody in the family being a smoker?
No.
None at all? No. So it isn't secondhand smoke?
Exposure to secondhand smoke is a risk factor for lung cancer
right.
in general.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not to say that if you have been exposed to mm-hmm. secondhand smoke, you will definitely get lung cancer or you will get ALK-positive lung cancer. It is a risk factor. It is not a cause for
right.
lung cancer.
Okay. I like that because, again, that is another misconception and perhaps something that
yes.
a lot of people hold on to quite
yes.
seriously. You said younger people, women and non-smokers. So there is a gender leaning as far as women are concerned. Women are more susceptible. Is there a reason for this? Do we know what that reason is?
No, actually we don't, mm-hmm. but this is just based on statistics that when we've done our studies, we find that it's not to say that men don't get ALK-positive lung cancers.
Just
but
a higher prevalence
yes, just that,
in women.
Yes, a higher prevalence in women.
Okay, and why younger people though?
Okay, so it's again something that we don't know clearly about. Again, it's back to statistics. Mm-hmm. When we compare to the other type of lung cancers where people get the patient, they are in the age range of maybe 60s, 70s. But for the ALK-positive lung cancers, we see that some of the patients are in the early 50s, late 40s. So it's mm-hmm. not uncommon to see this younger age group for this ALK-positive lung cancers.
All right. What would be some of the medical complications of getting this particular type of lung cancer?
So the complications of ALK-positive lung cancer is actually similar to the complications of lung cancer in general. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if the lung cancer obstructs the airways, patient can present with difficulty breathing, or if the cancer causes bleeding in the airways, patient can have symptoms where they are coughing out blood. And just as I mentioned earlier, with any cancer, the cancer can spread beyond the lungs and
right.
can spread to the brains, to the bones, to the liver. And when that happens, it becomes incurable.
Okay. And what kind of treatments are we looking at?
If we are talking about advanced ALK-positive lung cancer, then we are talking about targeted therapy, meaning ALK inhibitors. Mm-hmm. Essentially, ALK inhibitors are oral drugs that patients with advanced ALK-positive lung cancer can take. And these drugs actually target the abnormal protein that drives the cancer cells to cause it to grow and divide. And with this medication, what it does is to help to control the growth of the cancer cells.
Okay. And some of these drugs we can highlight today?
Yeah. So there are many ALK inhibitors around. So there are different generations. We're talking about first generation, second generation, and third generation mm-hmm. ALK inhibitors. And generally, some common ALK inhibitors, some names that you may hear about is crizotinib, alectinib, lorlatinib. So I think best, if you do have ALK-positive lung cancer, best to speak to your oncologist about the appropriate treatment that is available for your type of ALK-positive lung cancer.
Now, with most cancers, you have the option of chemotherapy, radiotherapy, oral drugs, drug infusions. With lung cancer specifically, with this ALK-positive non-small cell lung cancer, are those other options viable?
Yes.
Chemotherapy, radiotherapy, such things?
Yes. So in, let's say if the ALK-positive lung cancer is diagnosed in the early stages, mm-hmm. If it's in the early stage, so the patients still go for conventional things like a surgery to remove the cancer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they may get some chemotherapy after the surgery to prevent, to decrease their chance of getting a recurrence. Mm-hmm. They may get some radiation therapy if there's cancer has spread to the bones to help with pain management. So all the other therapies such as surgery, chemotherapy and radiation is still an option for these patients. Just that for patients with advanced ALK-positive lung cancer, meaning the cancer that has spread beyond the lungs, the mainstay of treatment tends to be this oral ALK inhibitors. And generally, these oral drugs a lot more convenient for the patients compared to chemotherapy, and definitely is definitely less toxic compared to your standard chemotherapy.
Okay. What are the challenges in diagnosing this particular type of cancer? What is the diagnosis? How do you diagnose it?
Okay, so generally what happens is we have a patient coming in with symptoms suggestive of lung cancer. So for example, persistent cough, mm-hmm. coughing out blood, bone pain. So when you see the doctor, they'll get some scans done for you. And if the scans show that there's for example, there's a tumor in the lungs, and then what your doctor would suggest is for you to get a biopsy, and the biopsy would be done to confirm what sort of lung, is this confirm whether this is a lung cancer, number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, after the biopsy is done, there will be further molecular tests done on your tumor specimen to see what sort of lung cancer that you have. And depending on the type of lung cancer that you have, your doctor will speak to you about personalized medication for your type of lung cancer.
Right, okay. And in Singapore, you've given us numbers that were pretty global. In Singapore, what is the prevalence of this type of cancer now?
It's similar for ALK-positive lung cancer. It still makes up about 5 to 8% of our non-small cell lung cancer population.
Okay. Survival rate?
Survival rates very variable, but I would say for ALK-positive lung cancer, we see median survival for some patients can even extend beyond 5 years. So we have had some patients who've done very, very well. And in fact, it's almost like a chronic disease to them. I've got patients who go to work taking this oral ALK inhibitor. So things have definitely changed compared to 20 years ago.
If somebody suspects that they might have lung cancer, what do you recommend that they do first?
If you think that you have symptoms suggestive of lung cancer, please see your doctor early. It can be your general practitioner. Mm-hmm. It can be your family doctor. Just voice out your concerns that this is what you think that is, and let them do an assessment for you, and then they can and your doctors can order the appropriate tests necessary for you.
Now, before I let you go, one of the things that a lot of people are concerned about, especially with cancer treatment, is the cost of it all. It is quite frightening when you take into consideration what it could cost. Now, with these, you call them inhibitors, the drugs that you were talking about,
yes.
are they prohibitively expensive?
Yes, they are expensive. However, there are many, especially in the public hospital settings where I work with, there are a lot of patient access programs where patients who can't afford this drug, where we have these programs where they get the financial help needed to actually obtain this drug. So generally, for patients who have this ALK positive cancer, and if they truly do not have the means, there's definitely help available for them to get this treatment. So, I can say that, I have no patients who hasn't been able to get the treatment because they haven't been able to afford it.
All right, that is good news. That's actually a great place for us to end this conversation. Mm. We've been talking to Dr. Tanuja Rajasekaran, consultant with the Division of Medical Oncology at the National Cancer Centre, Singapore. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.